Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Good evening and welcome everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and hopefully some wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, intuits, and well, that list, it goes on and on and on, and it is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our very own individual ways bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with, Deb and Chris and our guest, the wonderful Andrew D., we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase your energy and ours and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It does fill up fast. Deb is in the chat room, I believe, but she has Andrew with her. So if you have a question, Chris is the one you want to ask. Hopefully she'll have the answer for you. Lord knows I'm not gonna. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and Andrew is conveniently at andrewd.com. Before we get involved with our readings and our guests, I want to share with you some of the very special shows that I highly recommend to those seeking spiritual surroundings. With so many shows on BTR, sometimes it is hard to decide where you want to share your time, and these are shows that I love and frequent often because of the quality of the material and the spiritual energy that they radiate. I've listed them all in the write-up for the show, but just kind of to go through them very, very fast. We've got Ray Booker's Spirit of the Radio. He's on Sundays. We have psychic medium Renee Richards, who is spectacular. She's on Tuesdays and Fridays. There is, of course, Curious Times on every night from 8 to 10 with Chris. That's a spectacular program that I totally enjoy, and I'm honored to be a regular on her show on Sunday nights. Now, Christina Nelson has a new show. It's called Paranormal Psychic Radio with Selena and Christina Nelson. And it debuts on, I believe, the 28th through the 29th. I can't hammer it down. I see it everywhere in both different days, but it will be on at 5 o'clock Eastern time. So check your calendars and make sure you tune into that show because it should be spectacular. Then there's Roberts, Bite Radio Me. And again, his shows are on frequently, so you're going to have to check Blog Talk to see exactly where they are. Heavenly Whispers with the amazing Reverend Ann Rose is on. And then, of course, there's a Wolf in the Mirror network, and on that network is Visionary Times and my favorite show, one of my favorite shows, I have to say, and that would be The Hawk's Nest. He does vintage radio, and it's addictive, and it's spectacular, and I adore it, and I don't miss it, and if I do miss it, I have to go back, and I have to catch an archive because it is spectacular, and Ken's wife, Deborah New Moon Rising, has her show on Tuesdays, as well as her husband, and her show is On My Mind with Mama Moon, and that's on at 1 p.m. on Tuesdays. I know that's a long list. I did list them in the write-up for the show because it's really important. I think that we are obligated to endorse those shows, those places where we find spiritual energy and where we treasure it. And when you find this kind of energy in any one particular place, I think it's very, very important to sort of help to advertise it, to endorse it, to let people know where it is. Because, frankly, there are a lot of shows out there, and you can get, you know, absolutely overwhelmed by them. And it just feels to me as though if I can give you a list of shows that I endorse that I think, you know, are wonderful, it gives you the opportunity to take a look at them. Now, I have a spectacular gentleman on the show here today with me. And he is, his name is Andrew D, and he's a medium, and he is from Great Britain. He is one of those that I love to explain or define as having old school training, and this doesn't mean that he's old. Old school training in mediumship especially means that there is a routine, there is an art to learning how to work with spirit, to learning how to bring the message through so that it touches the person in the appropriate manner and way. I have found of late that there are a lot of people out there that have the capacity and the ability to talk to spirit, but they don't have the training and the understanding that the old school has. And you know, again, that doesn't make us old. I'm old, but I don't think he is. But it's an amazing gift. There is an art to giving messages, especially when you deal with the spirit world. And he is a spirit medium, and he is a psychic medium. He is intrigued by the human quest for knowledge and proof of life after the physical death. And we are constantly trying to make sense of our physical lives, and we often turn to spirit for help. And the world of spirit can help, and it does help us in lots and lots of ways, most of them so subtle that we don't even recognize them. You know, just because he's a spirit medium and I am too doesn't mean life is easier for us. Sometimes it's even a lot more complicated. But it is a joy to serve in this particular manner. Having psychic abilities is one thing. Having mediumship is a whole nother another channel, so to speak, that we tune into. It is Ray's purpose in this life. It's his aim, his desire to help those that have lost direction find their way, and with guided readings and the loved ones on the other side, you know, you can get that guidance. And it isn't meant to be directional. It's meant to give you guidance and support so that you can, with greater security and validity, make the choices that are most important for you to make this lifetime. It's not meant to be a parlor trick. It's meant to be confirmational. It's meant to be, in many ways, consoling and validating. And I do believe he does this in a most artistic and spiritual, gentle and compassionate way, so that he it is an absolute joy that he has decided to spend time with us today, because I have been a follower and admirer for a very long time, and I'm just so delighted that you're here today, Andrew. Hi.
Hi, Barbara. How's it going? Okay?
It's going very, very well now, I think.
Good, good. Okay, fantastic. And thank you for that wonderful introduction as well. And I tell you what, it's so nice that it was the way that you put it, and that you picked up on the fact that I do try and remain what I would call true to the cause, because you're not wrong at all as well. And this is something that it's worried me, because I've been invited on one or two BTR shows, and I've listened into them beforehand, you know, before I've said yes or no. And it's a bit like that sort of dot-com revolution or, you know, there's people out there who say, hey, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, I've got this. I can give the odd message here and there, or some intuitive. I mean, we've all got psychic ability. We can all connect to spirit, and we all do it more often than we think, but we don't often realize it. And there's people now, and you're not wrong, and I've been accused of this, because there are people out there who are so skeptical of what we do.
Uh-huh.
I am skeptical of what I do, because I've got to prove to myself that spirit did give me the information. I did pick it up from, if it's on a psychic link, I did pick it up from connecting with the person intuitively, and that somehow my brain didn't conjure up the information I've been given. I mean, only last night I was, I'm back home, and if you know your UK geography, I live in what we call the middle of the UK, which actually, funny old thing, it's called the Midlands. I was down south of London last night, and you know, and some information that came out there, I stopped and I thought to myself, did I get this from somewhere? Did I say this to somebody the other day? Have I remembered this? Has my brain picked it up from a conversation? Did I have to speak to somebody else recently about this? And I said to the lady it concerned, I said, would you know exactly what I mean when I say this? And she said, Andrew, 100%. I said, okay. So, you know, I am skeptical, so I can understand why other people are skeptical of what we do. But also, they've got good reason, because there are people out there now who are taking money off people. And I would describe them as charlatans. And, you know, they're the guys, like everything, you know, there are good people out there. You've got good used car salesmen, and you've got bad used car salesmen. Some of them sell Rolls Royces, some of them sell, you know, what we call in the UK a scrapper. It belonged in the scrapyard or the junkyard. And that's exactly how it works with us. You know, and I would like to think that God is good, and those that deserve to be recognize what they do. You know, they will shine and outshine everybody else, and those others will fall by the wayside when they realize that nobody's listening, because, you know, if you give a dog a bad name, it sticks.
Oh, yeah, and I think that what has concerned me greatly over the last few years, I've been in this field for 50 years now, and you know, I've seen people come and people go, but what is of great concern to me over the last couple of years is that so many people label themselves as mediums or shamans or whatever, and you kind of, you know, okay, if you can talk to spirit, that's wonderful, but what is your training? You have to be able to refine it. You have to be able to define it. There are ground rules. There truly are ground rules, and if you don't know what they are, you mismanage a gift that is very precious. And it bothers me that there are a lot of very young people out there that are doing mediumship, and, you know, they're almost getting high on it instead of understanding that they are truly serving an amazing purpose in this lifetime, and it's nothing to play with. It's nothing to show off. It's not meant to impress people. It's meant to help people and give them counsel and give them comfort and give them validation that people have gone on, you know, to another realm, to another dimension. And I'm very, very distressed. You know, I know that the universe takes care of all of this, and, you know, there is a balance, and that there is justice and all sorts of stuff. It's just that I really you know, when you have an amazing gift, it behooves you to treat it well and not abuse you. And there are those out there that truly are abusing the gift, and it is it saddens me greatly.
Yeah, and do you know what? I mean, I seem to be getting quite a lot of people very recently, and I don't know whether, you know, as you know, Barbara, you know, your mediumship goes through so many different changes. It goes through so many different, so much evolvement. And I mean, you've been working at this so long. You've been working at this so long that I think, well, how many more changes, you know, can you go through? And I don't know whether you've heard of this gentleman. I don't know whether you've heard of this gentleman, but he was very much the bedrock of the spiritualist nationalist movement in the UK, Mr. Gordon Higginson. And, you know, you've only got to Google him, and there's no end of information on this guy. And he said, if you think you've arrived, it's time to give up. So I've answered my own question there when I said about your mediumship, Barbara, that you will... You know that you're constantly changing and constantly evolving. But right now, at this moment in time, when you said about helping people or guiding people, I seem to have an awful lot of people who have recently lost somebody who I am not in a position to help as such because they are so distraught. And I don't know whether this is a test of me to see whether how I handle it. And last night there was a lady come to me right at the end of the show, and she said, Andrew, she said, I really, really need to hear from my mother. And this lady was shaking, and the next minute tears were rolling down her face. And I said, do you really think you're in a position? Because some people, if they've lost somebody and they are in a good place in terms of they've accepted that loss, and this lady said to me last night, she said, I know my mother's passed a spirit. She said, I know she's physically no longer here, but why do I feel like this? And I said, that's grief. That is bereavement. And I said, that is, and it's an old cliche. I said, but time can be, in a lot of instances, be a healer. But at the same time, I said, you've got to learn how to deal with this yourself. And I said, your mum coming through now, I said, just won't help you at all because you're still clinging on to absolutely everything about your mum. And you need to be able to sort of deal with that in a good way and in a happy way. And when she does come through, rejoice in the fact that she's come through from spirit and feel that love that mum's brought through, not the pain and the grief and the upset. So, yes, you're 100% correct. There are people out there who are not quite sure or have no idea what else they are dealing with out there, because it's not just giving, you know, love and light messages. I get people who come to see me regularly, you know, my shows, they seem to get in, and God love them, you know, they are, let's just say, mentally ill or mentally disturbed, and I've never really had any problem with them or any trouble. But there are people out there seeking help themselves who need to seek out professional guidance from the relevant, you know, healthcare professional.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you just know to guide them in that direction and say, hey, you need to speak to Samaritans, or maybe you need some, it sounds a horrible word, therapy, because I hate feeling as though I've cast people adrift when they're looking for help and they're looking for answers. But sometimes, you know, you're doing the right thing by pointing them in the right direction, and other people see that as a means of making money. So there's a lot of responsibility out there. And when you said about training, that's all part of it, you know, understanding the responsibility of what you're doing, and some people just don't.
Oh, no, most of the people have heard me say, not a lot, but on occasion, you know, this is way beyond my credentials. You need to have some professional help, but, you know, I'll be a cheerleader for you. I had one woman come to me, and she was so distraught. She was crying and sobbing, and her husband was standing there, And I looked at her and I said, do you realize that when he crossed over, he became whole again? He was full of joy, and he was reunited with people on the other side. And she said, I know. And I said, do you realize that there was a party welcoming him when he crossed over? And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, and to be honest with you, all of this you're going through is putting a damper on the good time on the other side. And she looked at me and she said, really? I thought I was supposed to, you know, be sad. I said, you can be sad, you know, and because he's not going to be physically in your presence. But how could you possibly think after all those years that he would not always be around you in your heart, in your mind, in your memories? You won't feel that he's gone. I know when my husband passed away, everybody expected me to curl up in a little ball and you know, go through a terrible time. And I was just so grateful he was out of pain that you know, it didn't destroy me because I knew it was the right thing. And I had people say, oh, well, you're in denial. And I said, no, I'm pretty much sure he's dead because his ashes are on the headboard of the bed. So he's gone.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. but he will never be gone from me, so that he's not here, but he's not gone. So, you know, his essence is still very much around me. And go ahead.
Sorry, so I didn't mean to interrupt. And you're not wrong in that. I mean, we deal with, let's say, the joy of spirit, the love of spirit, you know, bringing through that evidence of survival after physical death. But we've got to remember, you know, that there is that separation anxiety, there's the grief, the bereavement, the loss, and you can't ignore it because it's very much part of what we do. And I don't want to dwell on that because but I don't want to make it sound like I'm marginalizing it or belittling it. But at the same time, I think it's Japan where they actually wear white at funerals, and it's a celebration of somebody's life, not the mourning of their passing. And I was actually speaking to my own mom yesterday about there seems to be quite a lot of funerals recently, mostly friends. And we were talking about many years ago when men, I don't know about the States, and I feel it was possibly the same, men would wear a black armband for so long on their coats, and women would wear what they call the black diamond, or maybe, you know, a smoky quartz, or something like a black stone, or even a black glass bead that will be attached to their arm to show they're in mourning. And this would go on for months, or, you know, even years. And I think, you know, come on, guys, you know, there is that loss, there is that bereavement, but at the same time, and this sounds awful, and I'm certainly not, if anybody's listening in and they are beset by grief, don't get the wrong message here, but, you know, there's somebody in hospital at the moment in my family, it's actually my father-in-law, and things aren't good. And my wife even said last week, she said, look at it, should everyone's just carrying on as normal? And I said, I had an experience like this a few years ago. I said that somebody was desperately, desperately ill in hospital, and I wanted to scream at the world that I thought, you know, why are you carrying on with your lives? You know, why is everything normal? Why is everything going on? And suddenly I felt I was in a bubble looking at the outside of the world from inside this bubble with what was going on in my life. And, you know, life does go on and the world doesn't stop turning. And, and like I said, as harsh as it sounds, you know, that's what I try and point out to people, or if they come and see me, you know, sometimes we have a chat about spirit. If I can't connect to spirit, I will be the first to admit, you know, I'll say, I can't connect today. There is obviously a reason. And often it's a block with the queer and sort of recipient. You know, there's a block going on there. They might get other people through, but not the person they wanted. And, you know, sometimes we will sit down and chat about the whole process or what goes on when I connect to spirit. And this is what I did last night. You know, we did the show. We had lots of messages from spirit, you know, for loved ones in the audience. But we had a good questions and answers session as well. And there's so much interest out there. There was so much that people want to find out. And it's a bit like suddenly think, hang on a minute, mediums, what do they do? Well, world of spirit, what's that about? I've got all these questions about, and even if, Barbara, you know, kids say, what do kids say? What happens when you die? Where do you go when you die? And there's people still asking me those questions today. So it's all out there, but I see my role as getting the message out there, and I'm sure you do too.
Oh, yeah, I think one of the things that I do say often here, and I'll repeat it, death itself is only described once in the Bible. And it basically, and I'm paraphrasing, it says, you know, you struggle, you live 60 to 70 years, you work hard, you struggle, and then you die. And then the next phrase is, and then you fly away. And that's exactly what happens. In all the interviews that I've done with near-death experiences, everyone says the exact same thing. They fly away. They let go and mm-hmm. they fly. And it has to be the most beautiful thing in the entire world. And when you think that they are letting go of pain, they are letting go of stress, they are letting go of turmoil, they are letting go of anxiety, they are letting go of everything that is of a physical nature, and they are flying home to another dimension where they're welcomed by loved ones. I mean, how can anybody feel sorry for someone that is going through that experience? One of the young girls that I interviewed a number of years ago, she had tried to commit suicide. And when she was describing the entire thing, she was talking about flight and lifting and flying and seeing people around her. And she said, you have to understand, I did not feel that I was surrounded by love or embraced by love or in a pink bubble of love or anything like that. She said, I was love. And that has to be the most profound statement I think I have ever, ever heard. It's just, you know, we've all experienced love of a child, love of a spouse, love of a parent, but to actually be love, the totality of universal love, of, you know, to be unconditional love has to be almost a godlike feeling. I mean, and I don't mean, you know, omnipotent or anything like that. I mean, it has to be the most perfect emotion we are capable of. And I can understand why people do not want to come back from a near-death experience because the love that they are not only immersed in, but that they become has to be the most perfect thing in the world, and to have to let go of that and come back into physical to complete the journey that they are here to complete. I can see why there's anger. I can see why there's but you know, I am. And you know, when people do cross over, I mean, they haven't lost a battle with an illness or anything like that. They've won. They have completed what they were here to do this lifetime, and they have won the privilege to move on to the next dimension. So there's no. I understand their sadness because they're not there. I know what that feels like, and I truly, truly understand it. But. The reality here is that this is a victory celebration for them when they cross over. And you know, if we truly want to honor them at some point, we have to validate their journey and what they've accomplished and the fact that they've moved on, and that sometimes people cry because there's a void. Sometimes they cry because they're left behind. Sometimes they cry because they feel left out. But the reality is this lifetime, you know, is the preparation for moving into that other dimension. So we're here for a reason. And, you know, frankly, I have so much to learn. I'm gonna be over 100 before I cross over, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, get it all in now before you have to come back again.
Yeah, but it is such it's joyful.
Yeah, and I mean, you know what? I was talking to a niece of my niece this week, and she said to me, she's only 25, and she said, Andrew, I really don't want to die. She said, I love my life so much, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I want to stay here. And I said, whatever you think about how wonderful your life is, I said, have you ever considered just possibly, I said, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, just possibly that this is actually the crappy bit. And all those who are in spirit who've got to come back here, we're not going over there, you know, we know what it's like, okay, we'll go. And there's some sort of deal on the table. And I always remember this when, from my military days, if you go and do this tour, then, you know, there's a promotion coming up for you. So I always think it's a bit like that in the world of spirit. Okay, go and do this really crappy life, and when you come back, there's a promotion. You can go to the next level or, you know, whatever. Or, you know, you can go... What do you call it in America? You can get a hall pass at weekends, you know, once you come back.
Well, you know, it's funny. Because, you know, I have to tell you that I don't look upon this as work. This is what we do is just so much fun and so rewarding and so fulfilling that, you know, it's almost embarrassing. It's such an enlightening experience to be able to work with people on a spirit soul level, to be able to connect them to another dimension. I don't see how it could possibly get any better than this. I mean, I would love to have the experience, but you know, I just can't imagine it being any better.
I understand what you're saying there, and I'd just like to go back slightly, Barbara, to mm-hmm. what you said about that young lady that you spoke to, that lady that tried to take her own life, because there are so many people who say, now, I don't mind people who sit in the camp of, I'm not sure, I'd like to find out more, but the people who just totally dismiss that, you know, there's life after physical death. And it was Einstein who said, you cannot create energy or destroy it, you can merely change it. And I believe that we are energy. And, you know, and as I said to somebody the other week, that I said, okay, if that's the case, if you cannot create it or destroy it, I accept that we go to spirit. So where do we come from? And I actually believe that we actually do come from spirit. You know, we come here and we go back, and is that energy change all the time? But one particularly interesting book I did read, and it was a guy, and he's an American author, I think, and his name is Dr. Eben Alexander, and he is a neurosurgeon in the States. And he wrote a book called Proof of Heaven: A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife. And yes. What happened, I don't know whether you've read the book, because it's particularly interesting from a skeptic's point of view, because he is a scientist, he's a brain, you know, he's a neurosurgeon, and what happened to him, I can't remember what he contracted, I'm not sure whether it was a form of meningitis or septicemia or something, it was some sort of brain disorder, and his friends, and I even believe it was his son who was a neurosurgeon or trained to be a neurosurgeon, all of his best friends in the same hospital were treating him. And they said to his wife, you know, essentially, there is no brainstem activity. Your husband is effectively dead, and he's on the life support machine. But what he did, miraculously, he recovered from that, and he wrote about his experiences. And everything you said about he just felt love, he was love, and there was that. And he said just the most amazing feelings, and he described what he saw, and what he saw and felt and experienced, it was a bit like a good LSD trip, he said. You know, it was it was so surreal. Everything was magnified, his senses were magnified, the love, everything he felt. And when he came back, he said, I didn't want to come back. And perhaps it was just his job as a scientist, as a neurosurgeon, and everything he believed in, everything he'd learned, and everything he'd sort of done through med school and achieved, it was all thrown up in the air by what he'd experienced, because he was one of these guys who said, oh, no, when you die, you know, these experiences that you have, and when these near-death experiences, it's the cause of the brain shutting down, and it's a shortage of oxygen, and it's actually memory from somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. And he said it just threw everything into disarray. And I think that guy's a perfect example of somebody who was put here to say, I never believed it. I totally applied science to death and everything about it, and now I actually don't know what I think because of what I experienced, and I've come back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here to tell the story. So, you know, I would just like to say, you know, ask that guy, you know, he's in a I can just bring the evidence from spirit. I can bring things from people who've gone over and tell people I've never met before that I've got dad here or whoever, and, you know, and it doesn't always work. But this guy, you know, he was there. He was a major debunker of what we do as mediums. And now he's not actually sure what he thinks anymore. So
yeah, I know. I love that. I just I think skeptics are my most favorite people, because they absolutely, you know, when you can give them something that there's no way you could possibly have known, and you know, and they try to not believe you, and especially when I do spirit circles a lot. And I usually leave my skeptics, you know, when I can identify them, you know, for the middle to the end of the circle. And I let them watch everybody else. And you can see them getting tighter and tighter and folding their arms and setting their faces. And then you just touch them. And you know, they are the best people to hit and really, you know, tune into, because there's a part of them that doesn't believe it's the intellectual part, and yet the emotional side, you know, knows it immediately. And you know, it's not that they always cry. They don't always cry, but you get the looks on their face that I would pay $1 million for if I had $1 million, because they just are so overwhelmed by the fact that there's no way you could have known whatever it is you said. I had a spirit circle in Virginia a long time ago, and there was a couple sitting there. There were probably 40 or 50 people there, and I hit a lot of the other people and got, you know, gave them validation, and they were able to say, yes, that's my mom, or yes, my dad, or grandmother, or whoever. And I called on the woman, and I said, I looked at her, and I said, your father wants to know why you quit swimming. And I think she went all white. I thought she was going to pass out. Apparently, she had been in training for the Olympics, and she quit. And so it was really cool. I smelled chlorine immediately. It was the weirdest thing ever. We've got some callers here. I do want to take them before they go to sleep on us. Let me see. Okay, hold on. This lady's name is Queen. Queen, are you there?
I am, and how are you and your guest today?
Oh, we're fabulous. How can we help here?
I was thinking about a friend, and then I thought about another friend, and I'd like to know if you might be able to connect with them. The first one's name is Grand Goddess Gia Hamashiach El. And the second person is, who just came in while I was waiting to ask about, his name is Delay. And they are both in spirit. At least they were.
Right. Sorry, did you say your name is Queen?
Yes.
As in Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, but she's not that one. She's not Elizabeth. That, yeah. Yeah, but she's, Queen.
Okay, sorry, it's just that I can hear you fine, Barbara, but Queen is breaking up slightly, so I didn't know whether it was Corrine or, you know, something else that I was mishearing there. Okay, Queen. Right, now, do you know what, I'm going to sound like I'm already sort of dodging the ball here, but I will just... I will just give what I've got. And I just have this lady that I've got at the moment. She appears to be an African-American lady. And I want to say she seems very live, very sporty, and quite athletic in her build. Because this lady, I feel, that's joined me. And if you don't know her, then, you know, I can only apologize and say I've got who I've got. Now, this lady appears to be quite sporty, and she's making me aware here that do you know what, I don't know whether she was an athlete or a runner, because she's actually shown me a running track at the moment, and I feel with her that there was it's almost like she gave up this running, or she had to give up the running, or she didn't quite what they call made the draft or made the grade, and she decided to give it up. And but I just feel as though that life took a hold, and it sort of spiraled, let's just say, downwards. So would you understand a lady like this in spirit at all, Queen?
No, African-American, yeah, but beyond that, I don't know who it is at the moment.
Right, okay then.
Okay, well, while he's humming, I have, I don't usually get this kind of a feeling, so I'm going to hop in, because I'm just riding his energy, to be honest with you. I'm tasting a lot of very spicy food, And I'm not a spicy food people, so it feels like the inside of my mouth is burning. And this is a lady that I have in spirit, and she's telling me that I just wasn't brought up right, which is probably true. My mother only knew how to cook boiled New England dinners. So I have a lady here that cooked really, really spicy food. She feels like she was close to you. She has a wicked sense of humor. And this is a kind of lady that you really could not. She had a great presence about her, so that when she walked into a room, she had the attention. She drew the attention. She was someone whose life was as spicy as her cooking. Can you relate to this?
Probably. I have people around me who have that kind of energy. So yes. Yeah.
Okay. It feels like there is, I'm seeing also a bridge. They're showing me a bridge. They keep saying that you are to become a bridge. That you are not to cross over the bridge, but to stand in the middle to be the person that helps people. Can you relate to that?
I can relate to that in the person that I call for, the female that I call for, yes.
Okay. Really, Andrew, you getting anything more?
Right. Barbara, what I'll say is I wasn't sure that you finished. If you just say, Andrew, I'll hand back to you, and then I'll let you know what I've got. Right.
Okay.
I'm going to say, if you don't understand who this lady was, I feel like she was a track and field athlete at some point, even if she only did it at high school. I believe it was something that she loved, and I believe there was drugs around her eventually, and I believe that she couldn't, it's almost like she couldn't handle a rejection. So I will leave that there, because if you don't know who she is, but would you please, and I've also got the name Diane linking in around you as well. So I will leave that lady where she is, but I've also got a gentleman with me, quite a big guy, and he's taking me to, as he comes in, oh, do you know what? And I feel with this guy that he had all sorts wrong with him. And I feel it was mostly through, I would say, bad living. I want to say poor diet, poor lifestyle. And I feel actually this guy, when he passed, I'm being aware that he was either in a road accident at some point, a car wreck at some point, but I don't feel as though that's what took him. But I also feel with him that, you know, his body was slowly shutting down. And this guy, it's almost like if there's something bad you could eat or bad you could do, this guy sort of did it because he'd lost a lot of self-respect for himself. And he's quite a big guy, very slow moving. Yeah, a very big guy. So before I give too much detail, Queen, would you understand that a guy in spirit, like another African-American gentleman, who basically, I think he just lost the will to live, and it was through rejection as well. So would this make sense to you?
I probably knew somebody like that, but I can't place him.
Right, okay then. Right. I'm going to ask you, this is two people now that's come through, and sometimes they come through for the person afterwards on the phone, so I can only apologize for who has come through. But just quickly, this guy's making me aware here that around you, Queen, he's telling me it's a bit, do you do a lot of community work, or do you look after a lot of people who, or work for people, or do work on their behalf? Where they are disadvantaged, or particularly kids, would this make sense to you?
Well, I do community work, and children are my greatest love. And I, you know, at different times, different phases in my life, I do.
Okay, that's well. Listen, all I'll say is, I can only apologize for, you know, the people who you hoped come through have not come through. But all I've been told.
That's
sorry.
Quite all right. I was just hoping. You
okay.
know, I knew they'd be busy.
Yeah. Oh, but, right. Now, I've got to ask you. there's another gentleman just joined me here, and I quickly asked this man to step in. I've got to ask you, did your dad, when he was here, did he have stomach cancer or did he have pancreatic cancer? Would you understand this at all, Queen?
Stomach, yeah, he had issues with his stomach. And it could have been cancer.
Right, okay. And I've got to ask, did your dad play in a jazz band, or was it, did he play a trumpet or a brass instrument, you know, like a trumpet?
No, he wasn't a musician.
Right, okay. Because there's a man just joined me here, and he's got a hat on, and he's playing jazz music. And I want to say he's playing, I'm being taken down towards Mississippi, and I'm hearing Dixieland jazz here. So that's where this gentleman is taking me. So have you got any connection with that area, or are you from that area at all?
I do have a connection with that area. One of the people I called for, Delay, was a musician, but that wasn't his instrument that I knew of.
Right, okay. But did he play in jazz bands, particularly Dixieland jazz?
He could have. When I knew him, that was not the arena he was in, but he could have easily, you know, done that prior to my knowing him. Or even
okay.
While I knew
him. And would you understand, because I know I said dad, but would you understand, forget the dad for now, because this is the gentleman I got with me. This guy has come in, and all I can hear is the jazz. Would you understand with this gentleman you've mentioned, would you also understand the stomach problems with him at all?
I'm not sure what he passed with.
Okay. Well, what I'll say to you there, Queen, is that what I always say is, you know, if somebody says no too many times or they don't feel as I'm connecting, I can't just keep going and going and going because I'm not doing my job, and it doesn't always work out. So I'll just say I'm sorry, but and I don't know whether you picked up any more at all, Barbara.
No problem. I thank you for even, you know, attempting to look for them. And the reason I asked for them was because they have visited me. One has come in dreams and been very, very meaningful. And the other one, when she passed, she not only visited me, but visited others. I mean, she, you know, she knew, she understood the other realm very well, and he might have too. So like I said, they could easily be busy. So don't feel any way about it. It just wasn't for me to connect with them in that way at this time. Okay. And I understand it doesn't always happen like you want it to happen.
What I am being made aware of here, Queen, is around you, Queen. I know this sounds very general, and I don't like working like this, but I'm being told it's time that you started taking stock of your life, because I've been told that there's a lot of energy being spent on things that you're not really getting a return on. It's a bit like a bad investment, and I'm being told to take stock and, if anything, to start celebrating you as a person and for you to be a little bit more selfish and stop giving so much. So I know there's probably a lot of people who could take that, but that's what I am being given for you now. So I hope that helps a little. But right now, the spirit world is stepping back, and the three people that came through, I was unable to connect with you. So listen, you have a great day, and I'll just hand over to Barbara quickly. Thank you.
Okay.
You too, and I've been being told that a lot, you know, be selfish, do for myself more and more and more. That's
mm-hmm.
right on the mind. Thank you.
Yep. I will absolutely say the same to you, and thank you for calling.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I will speak to you again, I'm sure.
I'm sure too.
Yeah,
bye-bye now.
God bless.
Okay, we've got Corrine here. Hi, Corrine. How's it going today?
Hey, Barbara. How are you?
I'm really, really well. Thank you.
Andrew.
No.
Hi, yeah,
Corrine. No.
Yes, you said Corrine before, and I was like, Andrew, you can call me Corrine too.
Right, okay. Now, how weird is that? Because that is all I heard in my head was Corrine. And when this lady said Queen, I said, no, I can hear Corrine. And that's why I have to question. And I even wrote it down so I didn't call the other lady Corrine. Now, I've got to ask you, Corrine, do you understand any of what I said to that other lady, to all those people that came through?
No, Andrew, I don't.
Okay, fine. Because there are some people who say to me, Andrew, you wouldn't believe it. You know, I couldn't get through on the phones, and they'll email me and say, everything you gave that lady there, I could understand, but she couldn't take any of it. So that's why I always ask the next caller, because if I've got a room full of people, somebody can easily put their hand up and say, Andrew, I can understand all of that, but on the radio or on the internet, it's a little bit different.
Right.
So how can we help today then, Kareem?
Andrew, I just was wondering if anyone would come through, if you felt anybody or around me or, you know.
Okay. Well, I've got a I've got to ask you
No.
Okay, because the minute you said, Andrew, is there anybody there? I've got a gentleman who just joined me, and I feel that when I say a big guy, and it's funny because in the UK, big can be tall, but I also know in the States, big can be a guy who's 6'4" and weighs, you know, 200 plus. Now, I'm not saying this guy is that big, but I was immediately aware that I feel so much bigger than I am myself. I feel bigger in the waist, bigger in the legs, bigger in the arms. And this gentleman is making me aware. And what do you call them overalls in the States? The jeans that have the flap on the front and the braces over the top? Is that what you, do you call those overalls, do you? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like a big farmer guy or something?
Well, I haven't got that far yet, but that's what this guy has got on, because I've been made aware of a big guy, and he's got what I would call those overalls on. In the UK, we call them a bib and a brace, so different terminology, same thing. Now, because you said the farm thing, I don't want my brain to start thinking, hey, let's look at farms. So I want to give a little bit more detail about this guy. And I've been very made aware of this guy that, would you know somebody like that, Kareem? Of that sort of build and of that nature?
No, I get the, when you said big guy like that, I thought of a big wrestler or something, but I don't know anyone like that.
Oh, right, you don't know anybody like that. Well, I'll tell you what, God, I think I'm, they say hit and miss, but I think it's more miss tonight. Okay. Now, this guy has just placed a shotgun in my hand. Okay, and this guy, I feel, and he's actually saying that I would call them vermin, or maybe where he called them varmints. So I don't know whether that's particular to a certain area of the States or what. But this guy,
it is.
Is it? It's blasting rats and squirrels and all sorts. From wherever you live in the States, is that what you call them there? Is it or?
No, if I lived in the South, I would call them varmint, you know?
Right, okay, well, I wouldn't know that. But see, I've got this guy, and that's where he's taking me down there, taking me down to the South. And you know what, I've got to say, I know you mentioned a farmer. This guy is talking about a ranch, and I don't know the difference between a farm and a ranch, whether they're two different things. But he's taking me to a ranch, and this is what he's been doing. He's been out shooting. So does this not ring true at all for you, Kareem?
No, it's interesting, but I don't think I know anyone like that.
Okay.
Can I say something? Andrew,
uh-huh.
I think you've got a past life for her. And
right,
I think
okay.
that you're picking up a past life, and I love weird past lives. So what you've got is back about 200, 300 years, and Corinne, I think he has you in a past life that you know there was strength, there was connection to the land, there was living off the land. You know, and not that I want that diet, but that there was this element of you going back to the barest essentials. You were poor, and so that you know you survived and you did the best you could with what you had, and you know you struggled greatly, but you survived. And it reflects on this lifetime because you are struggling and you are surviving beautifully. So Andrew, I think you've got a past life for her here. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. Now, I'm going to try one more here because I've just sent out to the spirit world. And, you know, as you know, Barbara, it's all what I would call a thought process. A lady just drifted in here, and as this lady joins me, she appears to be quite slightly built, and I would say only quite short, quite small in the body in terms of her build. And as this lady joins me, I'm actually feeling as though I'm on a grandmother link here. And as this lady joins me, I'm being made aware of her being quite quietly spoken. And I feel that when she passed, it's almost like she accepted. We talked about people fighting, you know, and struggling to stay in this life. But I feel that this lady accepted her journey and accepted her passing. And she's been made aware that, making me aware that it's almost like she gathered the family around before she passed because she knew when it was going to happen and she wanted people to be there and she called them. So, Corinne, if this isn't you, then I'm just dreaming it all up tonight. Would you understand this with a grandmother at all?
Yeah, but my grandmother didn't have it, you know, the grandmother I knew didn't have people around her, but my other grandmother might have. She did know she was going to die, and that might have been her. I didn't really know her.
Right, okay. And would this be your grandmother on your dad's side?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what I've just asked her, you said. So which side did you come in from? And from what you've been told her, so we're going to have to sort of work with anecdotes now, basically what you've just been told about her rather than what you know. And would you understand from your dad's mom that I feel that going back in time, she would have been quite a fiery character and a lady that was not to be messed with. But I feel as though she sort of, it's like she accepted her own mortality towards the end of her life, and she understood, hey, you know, I'm not going to be here forever, and it's about time, you know, I accepted that. So from what you've been told, would you understand her being quite fiery, had a fire in her belly when she was younger?
I don't know, Andrew. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I've asked her why this lady's here, because it's weird sometimes, because I've asked her why she's here, and she's telling me that you have come to a point yourself, Corinne, where you're sort of weighing up your life and what's gone before, and it's almost like you're at a crossroads and decided that you can't carry on the way you've always carried on, and it's a bit like, how do you change it, or how do you sort of move forward and leave behind what you don't want anymore? Would this make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Just let me get a drink. Thank you. Because she's telling me here that she was always like that. And she's saying to me here about you having to... It's a bit like for you, Corinne, that... excuse me. It's about leaving things behind. I want to say old baggage, old memories, old emotions. And I've got to step back to your childhood here, because I will just ask you this question. Would you understand why she's talking about the anger that you have or the anger that you have had? Would you understand this?
Not really.
Not even going back. It's a bit like, you've sort of cast off an old life and you thought, well, do you know what? That was my old life. I've got to move forward now. Would you understand that at all, no?
A little bit, but I was never really an angry person. I mean, I can get angry, but...
No, because, you know, some people are sort of born angry, aren't they? You know, they're mad at the world, or I'm not saying this is you. But I tell you what, all I'm going to say to you here, Corinne, is that I haven't connected that well for you tonight, but what I will say is that where this need to move forward is, where this need to leave, I won't say old memories behind, old baggage behind, then be confident in the knowledge that you are moving forward, and there's no need to worry because God looks after all of his children. I've just been told where that's concerned, don't be worrying about what might happen or what people might think. Just take it as you go along and take each new day as it comes and deal with that day and don't be worrying about what you can't control. Okay?
Right. Thank you, Andrew. Very good words of advice. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Corinne.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. I'm going to pull on now one of my favorite people. She's in the chat room and, you know, usually if left alone in the chat room long enough, she gets in trouble. She's also screening for us today. This is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello. How you doing? Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
It's going. I'm on yeah. to, like about 2 hours sleep to help good my good friend Barbara here, you know? So I was actually I was feeling that when you were talking about the track person and then the person who the man who his body was shutting down, like that was really hitting home for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyhow, I was commenting in the chat room, and then Barbara said, well, she was going to bring me on. So here I am.
Yeah. Now, do you know what? It's a weird old night, and somebody just sent me a message, actually. And, you know, I'm not it's weird sometimes because I know sometimes if I've got somebody face-to-face or mm-hmm. I'm in a room. I mean, there was a show I did not so long back, and, you know, the lady did contact me afterwards, and she said she was so shocked. She said that I had her dad there, I gave his name, I described him, his life, and she said she just couldn't speak, and her daughter was, you know, digging her in the ribs and said, you know, speak up, it's dad. And she wrote to me afterwards and said, Andrew, she said, I'm really sorry, but she said I was just shocked and I couldn't speak. Now, sometimes you get that, and sometimes you get people who might not want to confirm something or might not want to open up. So if you're listening in and you do come on, don't be worried that, you know, whatever comes through, you're not going to have your life laid bare on, you know, the radio. And
I lay my own life bare on the radio every night from 10 till midnight, so it's not...
That's good. Well,
yeah.
That's just not you. That's not aimed at you, Chris. It's just that some people, you know, it's just, oh, I don't know. You know what I mean, don't you, Barbara?
Yeah.
I do. It's sometimes people just sit there and think it can't possibly be me. It sounds like me, but it can't possibly be me. And, you know, I'm going to keep quiet and maybe I can fade into the woodwork. And the reality is, yeah, it's you. It's you. But Chris is always, she's more of a mediumship person than she is a psychic person. So if there's anybody lurking around her, grab them. And if there isn't anybody lurking, we'll just move on.
Okay, right. Right, okay then. Right, I'm going to... Right, Chris, there's quite a tall gentleman just joined me here. And with this tall gentleman, I actually feel with him that when he was here... I'm quite tall, but I feel with him that he was maybe half my size in build, you know, half my weight. But he's drawing me to his throat here. And I don't know whether he had his voice box removed or he was unable to communicate because of it. And I feel like, do you know when people have a trachee in the throat and they have to put their finger over the hole to be able to talk
yeah.
to guide them? This is what this guy is doing. I've got my hand on my throat now. It's like I have to hold my throat in order to talk. And when I hear this guy's voice, it's a little bit robotic because I know they can have these devices. And it's like, I can hear you. But that's the way he's talking. And I feel with him, if it wasn't throat cancer, then he needed an operation on his throat. So because he's making me aware of his voice box. But he's also telling me here that with this... it's a bit like, and I still feel there's cancer with this guy, it's a bit like when it took hold, he rapidly went downhill, and he was sort of living skin and bone. So would this make sense to you at all, Chris?
Except for the trach part, like the throat, yes. And I'm not certain on the, you know, on the cancer part, but like blah, blah, blah. But the voice would be... The voice would not be a regular everyday voice either. And, you know, so I could see how it would come across as something odd to you, you know what I mean? But I would have to hear more about that guy.
Right, okay then. now, this guy, I mean, I don't even know where you are, but this guy is actually taking me, he's taking me up towards New York here. So that's where, and I, do you know what, I've been drawn to the word on my piece of paper, the lady name we had earlier on, Queen, but I'm also being drawn to the area Queens within New York. So do you have any links there, or do you connect
no.
to New York? Or,
no,
right?
Not at all. No, Canada.
Right, okay.
I'm in Canada.
Oh, right. Okay, fine. I've got to say as well, with this gentleman, I know what you said about his voice, and he's still maintaining that this sort of a bit like a robotic voice, not like a normal voice. But he's saying to me here as well about, I've got to ask, with him, would you understand him wasting away before he passed away? Because I feel as though, you know, he may have been about 6 foot tall, but he was half, you know, he wasn't the weight he should have been.
Yeah, I feel that he, based upon what I had heard, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he would have definitely, I believe it was actually pneumonia that took him, but, you know, he kicked the crap out of his body for, I don't know how he managed to live as long as he did, other than only the good die young, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And would you remember him as well? Because I feel with him that he sort of took, it's a bit like when people take themselves out of society. It's a bit like when they say, I'm not being part of the rat race anymore. It's a bit like you said, I'm not doing this anymore. Because, you know, people strive to earn a living and to climb the greasy pole, the corporate ladder or whatever. And I feel like that him, he said, do you know what? I'm not doing this because that's not the way I want to live my life. And I feel as though he took himself away and sort of lived his own life. Would you understand this with him?
I would say not for those reasons. He was a drunken jerk, creep that was mostly an outcast, and unless he had the paycheck and was buying all the town the drinks. You know what I mean? And so he definitely would have been off the what we would call having a normal life or anything like that, and then he would disappear for periods of times and then show back up and like that kind of stuff, you know, definitely off of what would be a normal life pattern or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where I was coming from with this guy. And you mentioned social outcasts, and that's what I'm getting with him, about being taken out, you know, away from everybody and living on the periphery of, and do you know what? I cannot get away from this, Chris. I'm going to ask this guy to take this condition away, because it's like somebody is, do you know what, when, I don't know whether you ever did this at school, if you're in the playground or the yard, and if you jabbed somebody in the throat, it'd be like, and they couldn't talk.
Yeah.
You know,
if you've never done it, you
know what I mean? And that's what he's doing. It's like he's jabbing me in the throat so I can't talk here.
Right.
But the way,
he will
the
kick
way
him to the
coming,
curb.
Sorry?
I said kick him to the curb. Get rid of him.
Okay.
Come to get lost.
Okay. Well, listen, I never ever sort of... one of the reasons I say to people is that there was a lady not so long back, and she said, God, I hated that guy. He was a neighbor, and I don't want to. I said, well, and eventually she said, well, Andrew, she said, I can understand the message that he's given, because he would be the source of person to give that message, and I wouldn't take it off anybody else. And with you, Chrissy, this gentleman's come across, and I know what you've told me about him, but one of the reasons he's come through for you here as a totally unexpected, but he's making me aware around you. I know you said you've got your radio shows every night, but what he's actually telling me here is that he said you need to... he's talking, believe it or not. Ah, right, this makes sense. People drink... and they get involved in substance abuse to try and forget, or because of particular things that happen to them, they want to sort of, if you like, drown their sorrows here. And this gentleman is telling me that you keep yourself busy, and you're not giving anything away. But he said you keep yourself very busy to keep your mind occupied. Would this make sense to you?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay, and what he's saying to me here is, all he said is, and this goes no further than me and 5,000 listeners or whatever it is, he said, you can run, but you can't hide. And he said, now is the time to start. All I will say is the things that, let's say, we all do it. Well, do you know what? I'll deal with that tomorrow. And the things
yeah.
that you said, I will deal with tomorrow. He said, now's uh-huh. the time, Chrissy, because it's the alignment, spiritual alignment, alignment of the stars, whatever you call it. But all he said,
yeah.
the time is right in your life for you to start dealing with these things once and for all, rather than hoping they will go away by themselves. And he said, it doesn't matter how busy you keep yourself, the minute you stop, these things come back and haunt you. So he just said, face up, deal with it, and they will melt away into the background. So can I just leave that with you?
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. Thanks, Andrew.
No
okay, thanks, Chris.
Cheers.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. She's one of my favorite people. And I you know, probably as soon as her microphone's off, has one of the kindest hearts of anyone that I've ever met, and is one of the most genuine people that I have ever met. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes she comes across as quite brisk, but to be honest with you, I think she's the biggest marshmallow I ever met. but kind and giving and sincere and genuine, absolutely as genuine
yeah.
as they come. And she puts on no airs, and she is genuine and remarkable. And it's really, really, really wonderful to know there's still people like that in this world. A little crazy,
yeah.
But you know, but genuine as hell.
And you know,
okay. What?
And this is it, Barbara. You know, there's so many people out there that there are people I know who do no end of good for other people. They're constantly giving. They are constantly being and. Some people, and this isn't directed anywhere whatsoever, it's just something that came to mind, but some people, they give and give and give because they have the time, but maybe there's something missing in their own life. And sometimes people think, oh, look at them, you know, I wouldn't do what they do, and, they, you know, you don't get any thanks, and you don't get any sort of appreciation for what you do. And some people like that, they need to be sort of not mocked, but they need to be supported, because
oh, yeah.
if they didn't do it, who would? Some people live in ivory towers, and I think every now and again they need to come down and take a look at the real world.
This is true. This is very true. Well, I'll tell you, she has the most compassionate heart of anyone I've ever met, and is a very giving person, even though she has a brash mouth. But we've got Mary here, so let's move on to Mary. Hi, Mary. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Barbara. How are you?
Fabulous. How can we help?
Well, I just wanted to know what Andrew saw around me. I mean, he was saying certain things that him. That's me. That's me. You know, same scenario with the drunken father, you know, the short guy with the big muscles. You know,
there you go.
Right, okay then. And you'll have to forgive me. Can I just take your name again, please?
Sure, Mary.
Mary. Okay, Mary. Now, I've got some questions. I cannot get away from this, and I'm not going to ask everybody, Mary, but I want to, if it's not you, then I will drop the subject and I'll move on and see what I have got. Well, I've got to go to New York here again and Queens as well. Does this link to you at all?
I'm in New York.
Right.
Very much
okay.
so.
Well, now, I know Queens is a place, and you don't have to have lived there or have friends there, but I don't even know where Queens is, and I keep getting New York, Queens, New York. So do you have you got connections there, or do you know people
yes.
there? Have you ever worked
yes.
there?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
I used
right,
to.
Thank you.
I used to rent a place down at Rockaway Beach, Queens. It was
thank
like a
you.
Beach That's... place. And then also my brother was out in Massbeth, Queens.
Right, thank you. Because I knew somebody just kept saying to me, don't let this information go. Keep that, because this is what happens. And this was happening to me last night when I was just outside London in the UK. You know, there was different people jump in and I'd say, stop, right, because I know this guy is for you over there, but I've got a lady for you over there. But like you said, when you've only got one caller at a time, and I imagine people going, I know who this is, I know who this is, but you can't hear them. do you know what? Do you remember I spoke to Corrine earlier on and I asked her about the big guy with the, I want to call him the overalls on, you said, you know, you understood something like this. Would you understand this description, Mary?
I did know somebody from, I'm in recovery in AA, and when we first got sober, we used to go down to this one bungalow, and there was one particular guy, Artie, who used to wear the overalls. He was like a hunter, you know, into... He was a city boy, but he was a country boy. If
Thank
that
you.
Makes sense.
Now I've got to ask you this, because did you say his name was Artie or Artie?
Artie.
Artie. Okay. Now I've got to ask you this, because he didn't shoot big game, did he?
No.
Because, you know, when I said, and you have, like I said, my American geography is, I've got a map up in front of me on my computer of the state, so I go, oh, yeah, that's there. I did mention the word barmans here, so which is a southern term I've now been told. But he's telling me here that it's a bit like, do you know when kids, when kids maybe have tin cans or bottles and they have them and they just practice shooting them from a distance. It's a bit like he would practice shooting rats or something to do. I mean, okay, the vermin, but at the same time, he would take out his frustration on things like rats. Would you understand this?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Because would you understand, you've given me this guy's name, and I know as he comes in here, I've got to ask you, did Artie shave his head?
Did he shave his head? No, but a friend of ours that rides a bike and also wears the overalls, he shaved his head, and he used to be hippie-like.
Right. Yeah, but would you understand why? Because I've got two... Do these guys know each other, Mary?
Yes.
Right, because... And they're both in spirit, aren't they?
No, one is still here.
Right. Who's the guy that shaved his head but also had a beard as well?
That's Steve.
And Steve's still here?
Steve is still here. As a matter of fact,
Thank
I was just on his Facebook page looking at some of his wacky pictures.
you were on his Facebook page making sure he is still here.
Yeah, he's still
no,
here.
No, because this is what... Okay, well, this is the description Artie was giving me as well, you see, because he was making me aware of a man who shaved his head, who had a beard as well, and so at least you can connect there with Steve, okay? But this is where Artie comes in. But also... And I know I was talking to Chris earlier on, and she said he was a town drunk or whatever. But I've got to ask you: was it your dad that had throat cancer?
My dad had emphysema.
Right. Okay. It's not quite. It's not. It. The okay.
Oh, I know who it is. The throat cancer. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like I said, I think it was John Edward who said this. He said, you've got to stay within the information. And I can't suddenly go, oh, it's emphysema. Oh, and it's a brother of somebody. You know, this guy saying, no, Andrew, it was throat cancer. He said, I can't change what I can't change what I died of.
He
okay.
just passed. He just passed.
Okay.
Connected to Artie.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And would you, and I know I was talking to Chris earlier on, but this guy... I've got to ask you, did he have his voice box removed, or did he, it's a bit like,
yes.
Thank you. Because tell you what he showed me. Did you ever meet this guy, or did you know him?
Yes.
Right. Because he's talking here. Would you remember him where they had drawn on his neck and he had blue pen on his neck?
No, he kept it covered.
But what he showed me, okay, thank you. I'll tell you what he showed me here, where they drew on him, where they were going to make cuts. And this is what he's saying to me. He said, you know, he used to show people where they're drawn on him with like a big marker pen
Well, he used to go to the beach with us and go in the water, and he didn't care who looked at his hole.
Right, okay. right, but this is what you said. Okay, let's move on quickly then, because I want to stay, because the pair of them are quite impatient here, Mary, because now you know these people through, if you like, a life experience that you're going through, and you told me you're in recovery here at the moment, but they're telling me that although you're in recovery, and Artie, because Artie's telling me here that he regressed, didn't he? He started recovery and then went backwards again. Would you understand this with him?
No, Artie died sober, and so did this other fella. I'm the one that came in with both guys and had relapsed, but now I'm back 7 years.
Right, okay. No, I've got to stick with what Artie's telling me now. So I'm not going to argue with him. You knew the guy. But he's, excuse me, he's talking to me here. The reason I said about regression, because he's talking to me here, and I suppose it comes with the territory about, liver problems or whatever, or blood disorders or whatever. But he's telling me here that would you understand where he was still having to go for medical care? He's talking about a liver disorder here that was caused.
Yes.
Cirrhosis. He just said cirrhosis. Would this make sense to you?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, that's what he's talking. So when I said about the regression here, he's taking me back again, and he's saying, although you told me he was sober, he's saying there were still conditions caused by the initial abuse, okay? So one of the reasons they're coming through, Mary, is because they're telling me that there's around you, it's a bit like, would you understand why they're telling me that you're sort of questioned about going on and what's it about? And you've come to, a crossroads where you're asking yourself a lot of questions about all these people you cared about and all these people that you all went into battle together. And it's a bit like you feel as though you sort of come out the other side, but you're on your own. Would you understand this?
Yeah. The one that just recently died from the throat cancer, we had such a spiritual connection. And because of Blog Talk Radio and people like Chris and people like Barbara and a few others, I've been able to open my gifts. And recently, I just haven't been into it, just like I'm stepping back, And it's because of my insecurities and my fears that good things are happening, so I got to throw a wrench into it. And Chris, who just died in February, I feel him around me all the time telling me, go, do it, do it. We always knew you were a psycho, so now become a psychic,
Yeah.
And the anger, when you were talking about anger, that was me. That was my whole life, running on anger, fear, And recently I had I do free angel card readings on Facebook, and some lady badgered me because I didn't give her a reading, found out who I was, is threatening to come to my job, and I'm like, sister, do you know who you... My old stuff came out of nowhere, and I don't want to be like that anymore. I was going to talk to Chris later and say, how do you protect you? And I do. I smudge. I do white light. I do meditation. And I allowed her to come into my energy yesterday. And I allowed her to mess up my whole day. I was thinking about closing my Facebook page. And no, there's people that need me. There's a reason why that I came this far.
And this is something we talked about earlier on, didn't we, Barbara, about, the responsibility that you have, not just to other people, but to yourself as well. And, I don't go out and do many private readings. I tend to do them by Skype. Occasionally, if there's nobody in my home, I never let anybody come to my home if they were in easy traveling distance. If they're traveling, 20 or 30 or 40 miles, I'll let them come to my home because I know they're not just going to turn up out the blue, from around the corner. So you've got to think about these things,
One thing, Mary, that I want to throw in here, when it's my philosophy and only mine that we can't counsel other people unless we've been through something ourselves. And that's why those people, those of us in the field, go through so much crap. It's sort of like it's sort of like I've had addictions, so I feel comfortable talking to someone with an addiction. I've lost a husband, so I feel comfortable in counseling people who have lost a partner. So that you know, you're getting a lot of this kind of garbage thrown at you so that you will be able to counsel others at a later time. And sometimes the best teaching tool is the fact that, you know, this was a lesson. This is how I dealt with it. I screwed up. This is how I should have done it. And so, you know, don't replicate my lesson. Find one of your own.
Right.
So that, you know, when you get garbage like this, when things like this happen, understand it's only because you're being given information as to how to deal with it appropriately. And putting your cards away and, you know, going back into the closet is not the way to deal with it.
Right. Right. And the amazing thing is, Barbara, I'm sitting here and I have Chris's picture, the man who died of throat cancer, right under my canvas. Right next to my heart, you know, and I had just popped into the room. I haven't been here in a while, you know, and I did a meditation. I'm reading Dr. Dwyer's book, and I'm like, you know what, let me pop in and say hello. And here we are, you know, when you're talking about the drunk and the anger, and it was me. I was the drunk. I was full of anger and rage, would take anything out on anybody until I released everything, and it's through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and I found my path, and I just realized that, as you said it, yeah, God is always going to give me something that I know with him I can handle, you know.
Absolutely.
I felt bad for that woman yesterday. She kept coming on my private Facebook page. I'm going to come to your job. You didn't give me I'm like, what? I was dealing with somebody who was threatening to commit suicide because of booze. That was my thing, to 12-step this woman into AA. The card readings went away, and I spoke to her as a woman alcoholic to a woman alcoholic who walked in her shoes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Oh, my God. I'm just like, I started crying when he brought up Chris. Chris made millions overhearing me ask somebody to park cars down where I used to work. And he always wanted to take care of me. Like, man, I owe you. My life changed because of you. I said, I was just the vessel. God wanted you to do it. That's it. You know, but I missed him. That was my bud.
Yeah. Well, he's not that far.
No, he's not. I'm sitting here looking at his picture. I could feel like he just winked at me. He said, you're finally getting it. You're finally getting it. Yeah.
Well,
do you know
Mary,
what, Mary? There was a friend. There was a friend of mine who passed away last year, around about this time, March time it was last year, and he said they are only ever in the next room. So if you think of Chris as just being in the next room.
Oh, he came to me when he crossed over that morning that he died. He was in my dreams. You know, asking me,
you know,
are you
what?
Okay?
And do you know what? I think it's wonderful sometimes because I did mention this. I was on Burr's show last week, and I get people who come through. You know, it's sometimes we have difficult spells like tonight. You know, I'll always put my hands up and say, you know, sometimes they come through fantastically well, other times they don't for whatever reason. And I've had people come through before their funeral. And yet there was a lady who came to see me one time, and, you know, her husband, she struggled because she'd never let him go, and he'd never come through in 42 years. And she said, why will he never come through? And that lady, we talked about it earlier on, Barbara, that lady had dressed in black since he went. So basically she'd been in mourning for 42 years. And so I'm just so glad, Mary, that, you know, you're in that, the battle that you had, you know, the trials and the tribulations you've had. And yet, you know, Chris Pastor came through, you acknowledge that. And you've turned your life around so much now, and it's an inspiration to other people who have had life quite easy, and the fact that, you know, maybe they can't get their favorite candy bars down the local store is a real trial to them, that they've never really lived. So I would say, God bless, Mary, and it was a pleasure talking to you tonight.
Namaste. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
Namaste. Thank you, Mary. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we've got Rose Maria, I think. Hi, Rose, is this you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing today?
Good.
How can we help?
Got a relationship that I'm interested in. It's going slowly. So I was wondering what's going around it before I go home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you mind opening up on Mrs. Orr, Barbara? Is that okay?
Well, you, me? No, I can.
Yeah,
I can. Who, me? I was just sitting here playing Candy Crush. No, I wasn't. Chris does that from time to time. Sure, I can hit the relationship. It feels like now this is a relationship that you are currently sort of in, right?
Sort of, kind of. I don't know what he wants yet. Completely.
How long has this been that you've been?
We've known each other for over 30 years.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. You're absolutely due for a relationship, a real relationship. I don't believe this is it. I believe that you have someone else coming into your life, most probably around the August-September time frame, that this friendship, we'll call it a relationship, but it's not a loving relationship. It's a friendship. It's a relationship that you have connections to in past lives, so that there's a familiarity there. But in no way, shape, or form will you be able to make this into the kind of relationship you're looking for at this moment in time. If you can accept just friendship, then you're going to be just fine. But if you want something more from this person, I don't believe that they are capable of giving it. It feels as though there is an element of emotional inavailability here. And that emotionally they can't... I don't feel that this person can invest emotionally in you right now.
He is emotionally into me. It's just he has a lot of problems right now, chaos.
Okay, I have to give you what I get.
Okay. He has a lot of chaos at the same time.
Okay, well, I'm just feeling that this relationship as it is now is not going to be as much as you want as far as a relationship. It does feel, again, that there is someone else coming in this summertime that will be able to give you the kind of relationship you deserve and that you're looking for yourself. My feeling is this other person is emotionally unavailable to the level, to the degree that you are looking for. And certainly you can hang in there with this person. I wouldn't say slam a door on them, but I do feel that this is one of those cases where that they will make a better friend than they will make than they will make a partner or a lover. Okay?
Yeah, a little free. It's funny. Okay, that's fine. Can you pinpoint what the one in August is to look like?
What they look like? No,
come in August.
Yeah, I can't tell you what they look like. I can tell you that they have been out of a relationship for well over a year, that they are financially and emotionally stable and independent, that they are looking for a partner to share their lives with, and that there is the element of great communication and abundance with this relationship that's coming. And again, don't slam the door on a friendship that you've got now, but do be on the lookout for a new person coming in beginning of August, end of July, and it feels as though June is a time frame where you go through some massive changes within what you deserve to have as far as relationship go and standing up for yourself and waiting for perfect to come your way. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling. Okie doke, we've got Tracy here. Hi, Tracy, how are you doing today?
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Andrew. I'm doing good.
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question, more sort of question about me and a possible gift that I might be coming into. Lately, for the past couple of weeks, I've been seeing white shadows in my house. And my house is known for, like, just activity alone. And I'm kind of, like, proud of the person I am because years ago I would have screamed at the sight of seeing something I didn't want to see. But the other night in my bedroom, there were, like, three shadow figures. And I just wanted to know, possibly, is this something I'm going to continue to keep seeing? And, like, who are the three shadow figures that I keep seeing in my room at night?
Andrew?
Oh, sorry. Sometimes with the Skype, Tracy, it sort of fades out, and I thought you were mid-sentence. I thought, hang on, she's gone. Do you know what? This is right up my street, as we say, because
yeah.
I have been doing some house clearances, as they call them, or ghost-busting or whatever, and this very house that I'm sat in now, I'm actually probably looking to move because I'm sick of, I don't know what it is with this village that I live in. I get quite a lot of requests to go and do clearances in houses. There's quite a lot of activity in the village. And in this house, the one I'm in now, and believe it or not, I'm in the house on my own tonight. My wife is away. And I'm shutting the office door so whoever's in the rest of the house can't hear me. Because what you will find, Tracy, and you are correct, when you said you see white figures, I went to do a house clearance not so long back, and I sort of opened up to spirit in a different way. And when I went in there, the minute I went in the house, I saw a white figure shoot up the stairs. It was more like a gray figure. And I just said to the lady, do you get a lot of noise or activity on your staircase? And she said, all the time. I said, do you mind if I go upstairs? So we went upstairs. I said, I need to go into the back bedroom. And it was her daughter's bedroom. And I said, this is where all the activity is. She said, that's where my daughter talked to this guy. And it turned out he was the previous occupant of the house. So what would say to you, where you see those white or grayish figures, there are no worries whatsoever. And I don't feel there is much need to do anything about those because I feel that they are just there. But the dark figure that you see, I have great difficulty sleeping in my bedroom because even though I've cleared this guy out once and I have to get a friend in, I feel with these figures, I used to wake up and I used to see somebody stood over me and I knew that it wasn't a pleasant experience. So what I would say, if there's anybody that you want to get rid of, the darker figures, I would say to you, this is what I'm picking up. The lighter ones are okay, but the darker ones, I feel that they need to be moved on. I don't feel they are a threat to you, but what I do feel is that where you see them or feel them, they drain you. And would I be right in saying, Tracy, that you actually wake up feeling tired as though you've had no sleep?
Correct. And it was just amazing. Like, they were just standing there, like, literally from short, medium to the tallest.
Yeah. And I've got to ask you, is this in your bedroom as well?
It's actually in my bedroom and just out throughout my whole entire, like, house. Like, my house is just, it's an amazing adventure to be here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Now, those guys are actually grounded spirits, and they actually need moving on and sharing the light. And I feel with them that they're not – my interpretation of it is that they don't actually understand that they have passed to spirit. They've never crossed over to the other side, and they've become grounded, and they just need to be educated and communicated with. Now, if you want to do this – now, I have to get a friend into my house because – I was able to move a few spirits on, but this one guy would not go. And it was actually down to the fact that the way he'd been treated when he was here on the earth plane, he would not listen to men, and he had no respect for other men because of the way his own father had treated him. And my friend is a lady. She moved him on within about 5 minutes. If you want to go down that road, but you're going to constantly, and especially with your own gift as well, you're going to constantly feel drained. And I know there are certain spirits that are draining your energy when you're in your house. So, does that help at all? I mean, does that sort of answer the question?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it's not that I'm scared. It's just like I find myself, the older I get, the more I start to see things and hear things. Mm-hmm. And like I said, years ago, like, I would have, like, not wanted to accept any of this. And it's just the, how do I go about the ability to acknowledge it and accept it?
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. I mean, Barbara, have you got any thoughts on that at all?
You know, my feeling is that I'm with you as far as the color of the spirits and things like that, absolutely. But I'm also getting that there is a message here for you that you know, you have talents and gifts, and that there is an element of taking the responsibility and educating yourself and surrendering to them to a certain degree. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying you put on a white sheet and become a fanatic, because, you know, that's been done. So besides that, you're not really that kind of a person. You aren't a fanatical type of person at all. But what I'm feeling here is that the message here to you is that you can see these energies that you know, they're around you, and that, to be honest with you, to learn how to open a portal so that they can pass into the light would not be a bad thing for you to know how to do.
Okay.
And you know, there, and I feel also, and maybe Andrew can confirm or whatever, I feel that you are very near to, if not built on, a vortex that would attract spirits to you, so that you know, you're kind of, it isn't necessarily you, it's sort of the area that your house is in, and that there is an element here that in a way you're a gatekeeper, and that if you can open the portal and allow people and allow them to pass through, that in many ways, first of all, it will be energizing, and second of all, there is a sense of you know, it's a blessed feeling to be able to help people to pass over and to claim the light that has always been there for them. I know your house is probably reasonably new, but I feel that there was another dwelling on that property before your house was built. Is that appropriate?
Correct. This house I'm living in now has been built since like 1950s, and the owners, they passed, and their daughters spread their ashes in the backyard of the house.
Mm-hmm.
This house has been standing for a while.
Okay, but just understand that they're just ashes, and you know, it's sort of like, you know, I hate to say it, but I had a friend once who had his son's ashes and scattered them by the school where his son wanted to, you know, have his ashes scattered. He was a 9-year-old child. And then his ex-wife wanted the ashes so she could put them in an urn and put them into a place where, you know, there could be a vault. And she was going to sue him, and so he just shoveled some ashes from the fireplace into the urn, and this woman paid thousands of dollars for this vault and this urn that had some good oak trees in it. So, you know, their ashes being scattered there does not hold them to that place. But Andrew, do you feel that there's a vortex there? I keep getting this whirling feeling there. So, you know, and that's how I go ahead.
Yeah, and as you were talking, Barbara, I was being taken to, in the UK we've got different words, but where you would keep your TV, would you call that your lounge? I mean, we call them living rooms or lounges here in the UK. Is that, mm-hmm. What do you call it, where your main room where your TV is, Tracy?
The main room where it used to be was the living room, but now they're just basically in the bedroom now.
Sorry, they are just, you know, where you keep your TV, the living room.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I'm being taken to a room where the TV is. Now, I know some people have TVs in all the rooms, but I'm being taken to what I would call the main living room, and I'm being made aware. Now, Barbara mentioned a vortex and a swirling feeling here, but I'm being made aware here that there are portals that need closing, because I feel that people are just coming through all the time. And I don't know whether you see portals yourself, but I'm being made aware of one. Portals normally rotate clockwise, and you need to sort of close them anti-clockwise. But I'm being made aware of an anti-clockwise vortex that needs closing, and to me, they're the ones that bring people through or bring spirits through, if you like, from other dimensions as well, or if you want to call them other beings. And these need to be closed off, because I feel, as Barbara said as well, that there are doorways into your home that need closing off, and people sort of, spirits are just finding themselves there and, hang on, where are we? You know, what's this about? And then they're not quite sure how to get back. So I think it's a twofold process. They need closing off, and equally, the spirits need to be shown the way to cross into the light as well. And I genuinely knew nothing about this until a friend of mine who specializes in rescue work, and she came to my house, and she did this in my house, because I was not aware that there was a vortex in my house as well. So it's only since then, and this is how we learn, by spreading the word to help the people.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, yes. Great. Thanks for calling, Tracy.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, we've got Eric. Hi, Eric. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Absolutely fine. How can we help today?
Well, I don't know if this is too general, but I was wondering if, first of all, if there's anybody around me from spirit that would come through.
Okay, Eric. Let's see what we got here. Now, Eric, I've got a gentleman with me that wants to hop in and hop out here, and I feel like I almost want to say that I've got to ask, is Dad in spirit?
What is the question?
Sorry, yeah. is your dad in spirit?
Oh, no, my dad, as far as I know, is still alive.
Right, okay. Because I've got a gentleman here who wants to hop in and hop out, and his energy is quite sort of, I feel though it was depleted. I've got to ask, it was me that mentioned Dad, but forget that, because you said your dad's here as far as you know. But have you got a friend or somebody close to you that's recently passed in the last few weeks?
I can't think of anybody that would have.
No, because I mean, you would just say no. Yeah, you would just say straight away whether you did or whether you did. Because okay, thank you. I've got a young man here. I'm even going to open this up. The chat room is my audience tonight, so I'm even going to open it up there. But this young man I've got with me, I feel as though there was either a motorbike crash or there was and I'll tell you what, I'm being taken to a tree. Sometimes people these days, they decorate trees or put flowers on trees where, you know, maybe a car has collided with a tree or there's been an accident there where somebody has passed. But I feel that this young man might have been involved in a motorbike crash, but at the same time, I feel as though after this, he survived, and then he's passed spirit since then. So this is what he's showing me at the moment, is the crash, but then the survival, and then the passing afterwards. Does this make sense to you at all, Eric?
I can't think of anybody I know that's passed from a motorcycle crash, but I can't say I can identify that person.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't mean to just say that person has nothing to say to me, but I don't know that person.
No, that's okay. If you don't know them, because bear with me one second while I just check. I'm just going to go to the chat room here and see whether. No, everyone's chatting about something different there. I was wondering whether somebody there had experienced this. Well, I'll be honest, Eric.
I did want to ask maybe if there is someone you connect to, if that's possible. The weird thing about this is I don't know the name of whoever this is, I had an astral type of strong energetic connection with someone I couldn't identify at the end of January last year. And I don't know if you might pick up anything on that.
Right. Let me just recap that for you. You had quite a strong connection with somebody at the end of January last year, and they've now passed to spirits. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it was something that happened while I was asleep, where I had a very high energy, I guess, connection.
Mm-hmm.
It was with something in spirit or in the astral while I was asleep, and it was kind of like I almost had like a kundalini awakening or something, but I never could really identify exactly who or what I connected with.
Right. Okay. So what you're saying is you had an experience with, let's just say, a spiritual being, but you're not quite sure who it was or what it was, or are you just trying to look for some more confirmation of that? Would that be correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Well, do you know what? It's nice every now and again when somebody gets something that's slightly different come through. I've got to ask you this, Eric. Have you, and you've only got to say yes or no, have you in the last 12 months experienced, I won't say, a lot of life-changing activities or even trauma in the last, trauma in your personal life in the last 12 months?
I wouldn't say there's any one event, but I'd say things are culminating to, I would say people I'm associating with changed, people who are associated with me have changed, things in the aggregate have changed in my life over the past year.
Okay. The reason is because I actually feel with you that, and the reason I asked about that is because sometimes trauma or accidents or life-changing events change, you know, people's way of looking at life and their take on life. And I actually feel around you, Eric, I feel that there's a change within your spiritual development here. And I want to say, I feel with you, I don't know whether you've experienced anything more than this, but I just feel that you've started to open up to spirit more. And I actually feel that you've sort of not blanked out or blocked out, but I just feel that you question, you know, did I hear that? Did I see that? Did I feel that? And I want to say to you, I can't give you any specifics about what you experienced in January last year, but I just feel as though this is another move forward, and this is what happened to me a few years back. You know, I noticed there's a change in my sort of awareness of the world around me, and things that were affecting me. You know, I'd sort of think, hang on, was that a coincidence? No, I had a communication to say that this is spirit affecting my life, and I just feel that you're opening up a lot more, and I want to say you've got to start relying on your intuition a lot more, because I feel that you have very good intuition, but it's a bit like the instinct of a cop. You're not quite sure whether to trust it or not, and I would always say trust that gut instinct or that gut feeling that you know you're going in the right direction. So I feel this is more of an awareness opening up. So, I mean, what do you think, Barbara?
Yeah, I would absolutely go along with you on that. I think that there has been a huge shift in consciousness for all of humanity lately, and those who are sensitive are having some amazing, unique experiences as far as feelings. A lot of people who have had experiences like this are feeling dizzy or out of balance. They are feeling far more sensitive to their reality than they ever have been before. They are perceiving their reality differently, and in some cases it's a shock, and they kind of have the feeling that they need to step back and sort of take stock again because their world is changing. And certainly, Eric, the feeling that I'm getting with you is that there is that element of coming into a new awareness so that you need to be able to learn to work with it, deal with it, and incorporate it into your own reality and let it manifest through you in its own very unique way, and try not to label it or, you know, or develop it on your own. Let spirit help you with that. And spirit synchronistically puts things in your pathway when you're ready to deal with them. And, you know, it would be nice if we got the immediate gratification, you know, knowing something was going to happen, but that doesn't work so, you know, as often as I would like. But have you had those feelings of greater sensitivity, of being a little out of balance and out of step with the rest of your reality of late?
I don't know if just of late, but yeah, there's been I can feel that there's been a lot of changes. I can speak to some of the things that were said that I've noticed a lot of different things. Like I notice all the time things happening with animals around me, like with birds. I'll be driving home and maybe 8 or 10 times a bird will fly right in front of my car in a certain way that it makes me feel like that there's some message there from what's happening. So I can acknowledge that there's a message. I don't always know what it is. Other times I might see repetitions of numbers in certain ways that make me feel like there's some kind of message. And sometimes I have some idea of it, sometimes I have no idea of it. Another thing recently I've been experimenting with is dowsing, using energy between my hands to get a sense of yes or no on certain questions, things like that. I'm not sure if I answered what you asked me, though.
No, I think you answered it. You know, you're aware of the shifts and changes that are going on. And, you know, they're leading you somewhere, and it's not necessarily important right now that you know where you're going. The important thing is that you trust that you're on the right pathway and things are, and you're going with the flow, and therefore you're where you need to be. You know, spirit, in many ways, there is an element of testing, and it's not the kind of test in school, but it's you know, do you have faith in the fact that spirit is taking you where you need to go? Do you trust that spirit within you will guide you appropriately so that you get to where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to be doing? And I feel that you're going through that process right now, that life is changing for you, and I love this phrase, you have a calling and you don't know where you're going. You know, you're being driven and you don't know where you're going, but you know that it's the right direction.
Yeah, overall, it's true. Not knowing where you're going, though, is a little, sometimes it can be annoying.
Yes.
Not knowing where it's going, you know.
Well, I know often I find myself, you know, being directed in one direction and my saying, are you really sure about this? Because I think I belong over there. And, you know, usually, you know, when I decide to steer for myself for a while, I usually end up hitting a brick wall. So, and even though I know that, I still do it on a pretty regular basis myself anyhow. So, but it's a matter, you have a master spirit inside of you. And if you trust it, if you allow it to sort of guide you, and, you know, it's not going to put you in front of a train or a speeding truck or anything like that. But you know, we do have a spiritual purpose each lifetime, and sometimes our intellect gets us so caught up in the physical reality that it's hard for that spirit to get us where we're supposed to go. So, and you have one of those kind of energies where you have faith and you trust, there's also intellectual analyzation that sometimes can get in your way.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be a balance. Sometimes it's not easy to be in balance with the two, but I think they're both necessary to a different degree. I'd say more and more I've been exploring and trying to trust what I feel intuitively about matters. I don't know if you have time for me to mention something, but one thing that I've been dealing with for the past several months is what I mentioned, the numbers, that I kept seeing numbers that related to an ex of mine, digits in her birthday. And this was, and I don't really see what I can do about this, but it kind of comes up and keeps reminding me about this person, but it's not a person that I think I can really connect with the state of things that are right now, or that I necessarily should. So, it's someone I really have no real, I mean, this person's married now, and this person is not someone I feel like I would want to be in a relationship with, even if she wasn't. But there was a lot of unfinished business between the two of us. So I don't know why I keep seeing these numbers that refer to this person, but that's one of my most recent puzzles I've been trying to deal with.
Do you have an answer for that, Andrew?
Well, what I will say, Eric, is, and I'm sort of aware of the time as well, when you're saying about these signs and about this being particularly connected to this lady, or, you know, digits to do with her birthdays and things like this, I will say in my own experience, and this is where I love these forums where we can share ideas and thoughts and experiences, because there are often, I will go past a sign, or I will see something, or something, you know, for example, a car may go past. And as I said to my wife, it's a bit like if I see a signpost and suddenly the lettering becomes enlarged, it becomes a bit like a neon sign. It's a bit like the sign is shouting out at me. And one of them was the other week, I was worrying about the future and work and things like this. And I walked past a sign in the shop, and the sign said, "Just be." Now, to me, that means just be where you are now. Just live for the moment. Don't be worrying too much about tomorrow. And I often see signs like that. I often get messages like that through the most weird, maybe they're always meant to be. Like, I could be reading a book or listening to a song, and suddenly the line in that song, it's a bit like somebody shouting out, "Andrew, this is for you. Listen to this." And it could be four words in that line. I pull out of that. I think I can see how that relates to me. But what I'll say to you, Eric, this is where you're coming from, in that I believe that a lot of what you're experiencing are messages. It's about, like you said, about the birds, the way they seem to carry, continually fly in front of you in a certain pattern, and you're thinking, is that a message? I would say to you, sometimes I go through that and think, is this a message? Is it not a message? And if I don't get it straight away, it might occur to me later on when I'm not trying so hard to work it out. And I would say to you, other times, it's straight away, it's maybe an issue I've been dealing with, and straight away I know what the message is. With regarding to this ex of yours, I would say sometimes I try too hard to try and make things fit or knit them together. I would say if you relax a little bit, and if you see something that you think, is there a message there? Is that for me? Is somehow, does that correspond to something? Don't try and make too much out of it. Just maybe keep a journal where you can write things down and say, again, I saw these numbers today. And I feel that the pattern will, one day you'll be sat there watching TV, you may flick the journal open, look at it and go, oh, I know it's a continual message. It suddenly it will make sense to you. So you're not going mad. And lots of other people will say, they've been experiencing things like this, and I just want you to sort of pull it all together at a later date, but don't try and make too big a deal of it at any one time, and it will make sense to you sooner or later.
Yeah, okay. again, that element of trying to intellectualize it more than you need to. It could even be very simply, remember this situation and don't repeat it.
Yeah, well, for me, it was like I was saying these particular digits, which are her birthday digits, and they would appear like sometimes 15 or 20 times a day in odd places.
What were the numbers?
914. Sometimes it would be some combination of those digits.
5, 9, 9, 1, 4. Comes back to a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it comes down to a 5. I would check on numerology and see what the number 5 represents. It may not have any reference to her at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you could even Google that straight away, you know, numerology, five. I mean, are you in a personal year of a five? Is it a personal month of a five? So, you know, there's so much there. Was it your birth year was a five? So look into these things, Eric, because, you know, I paid to have my numerology chart done a few years back, and it was amazingly accurate. And even if I just looked at it, I think I'm in a year two or a year three now, and so far it's all panning out, which is, you know, quite interesting.
Well, if I could just elaborate on one other thing, is that my birthday is September 15th, 915. And throughout my life, I've seen the digits 1915, 195, 519, and the oddest places. For example, my address is a 195 number. My room that I randomly was assigned to in college was 519. You know, so...
Let me refer you to a wonderful website. It's called forevernumerology.com. And the author of that website is Lynn Buss, who is probably one of the finest numerologists I have ever met. And he has all the explanation of all these numbers on his website. So I think you might want to check into numerology, because I think it's coming up and smacking you in the face, and you're trying to make it something else.
Okay?
Okay, thanks
right,
for
thank
calling,
you.
Eric. Bye-bye now. Andrew, this has been so much fun. I hope I'll be able to talk you into coming back again sometime.
Okay. Now, I was just aware of the time, Barbara. Have we actually gone off now, or can people still listen to us, but the radio's gone off?
No. Oh no, it's still, where I can put us in the green room if you like, though, so that nobody can hear.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, cause, you know, sometimes when you've done a two-hour show, and then you know, whoever the host is will say, "Oh my God, you know, we've got 30 seconds." Nope, stop it, cut it, and they'll message me and say, "Get off the air now because we're about to end the show." So I wasn't quite sure where we're at because we've gone past the two-hour mark. You see?
Yeah, well, it will still archive, so long as
right.
So that's what Chris does every night. She does 2 hours on the air, and then she goes another hour into archive. So she does actually 3 hours a night.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is some going. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind a chat to you offline, if that's okay, Barbara.
Just hold on there, and I'll take us offline. I just want to say goodbye to everybody and thank you to everybody, and I will see you probably next Monday or Wednesday, but I'll be there someplace. And I'll be at Chris's show on Sunday night. Good night, and thank you. Okay.